Let's begin in a word of prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace, your kindness. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ that we can remember again in the Lord's Supper, especially as we have contemplated the Lord's Supper, as we think about your saving work in our lives and what Christ has done for us. May that cause us to have a desire to see other people know you, that we would enjoy the fellowship that comes through Christ, and that we want other people to enjoy that fellowship with you as well. And pray that you would take this lesson and help use it to encourage us to obedience to the Great Commission, that we would see many people being saved under the ministry of this church, and pray that we would seek to see you being glorified and honored and great among the nations. So pray for a blessing on our time, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, thank you for coming to Sunday school. And today is going to be the last part four of our lessons we've been doing, a series we've been doing on our philosophy of missions. Last week I was in Vermilion Church, so Jake took the reins for a week, and then I'm coming back today. Today's the last one, and then Jake will take over and finish off his, well, not finish off. He will make an effort to finish his deacon series. So if you weren't here for the last three, I'll give a brief summary. What we did is in the first one, the first lesson, we went through the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, to show that God has always been a saving God, that God is a God who has gone out to seek and save that which was lost from the very beginning, after Adam and Eve sinned. Throughout the Old Testament, through Israel, God has always been a God who is a saving God. And he's always been a God who has had a global scope to his saving purposes. He's always wanted to save Jews and Gentiles. And you see that in the Old Testament. You see that in the New Testament. So we traced a little bit of that through the Old Testament. We also saw that Christ reflects that saving purpose of God, that saving nature of God. As Jesus Christ came into this world, he went about seeking to save that was lost. He went about preaching the gospel from city to city. He obviously was at the cross there, dying for sinners, accomplishing salvation. And then he also then gave the Great Commission to his disciples. And so we also then looked at the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? What isn't the Great Commission? And we saw that from Matthew 8:28. We saw also that from Luke and John, and even into Acts, where we see, you know, we said this is the Great Commission. And then what we see in the book of Acts is we see the apostles doing exactly what we saw that the Great Commission is. We see the apostles going about preaching to crowds of people, to going from place to place, preaching the gospel, planting churches, sending out men to go to the far corners of the Roman Empire to bring the gospel to those people as well. Certainly, you can see that in the Apostle Paul's life, where he's going as from place to place, and there's a new place that hasn't been reached, Paul wants to go there. We saw also, in I think it was the third lesson, we saw the importance of the local church. We saw that how it's through the local church that God is going to glorify himself and accomplish his purposes in this world. It's through the local church that the Great Commission is going to be accomplished. And therefore, we saw the centrality of the local church in God's purposes. And the local church has the... the purpose, the goal, their role is to identify and to train and to send out men for the work of missions. And they then, not only that they send them out, but they have the responsibility to support those men in such a way that they're not going to lack anything for the job, that they have everything they need to accomplish their purpose as they go out. We also noted that missionaries are sent out from local churches, and they have a responsibility to that local church. There's an oversight that happens from that local church to that missionary. And so the missionary needs to report back. He's accountable to a local church. He's not a lone ranger. He's not like a maverick that does whatever he wants. He has a responsibility to a local church or to local churches in general, to a group of local churches. And if you remember, we spent some time talking about that. We have all these definitions that we looked at. What is a missionary? What is missions? Different kinds of missions. And so, so that's what we really looked at, is a theology of missions from the scriptures. And this is very important, is that our theology is what drives our missiology. We don't get our missiology, we don't do missions according to studies, to different, there's all sorts of disciplines like about culture or anthropology or things like that, that often drive how people do missions. The way we do missions isn't driven by human ideas, human studies, all of that. It's driven by theology. And the problem in missions today is really here. It's with theology. Because the church doesn't have a good theology, the church doesn't do missions well. Because the church doesn't have a high view of Scripture, they don't have a good view of missions. And you see that in the kind of people that are sent out. You see that in the absence of the local church taking on the responsibility that they have. Most of the problems can be laid at the feet of bad theology, not taking this word of God seriously. And so that's why when you look at our philosophy of missions, we start with theology. Now, we're not getting deep into everything, but we start there. This is what the Word of God says. And because the Word of God says this, therefore, this is how we're going to operate. This is how we're going to carry out our missions program, as it were, in Grace Life Church. And that's important for all of us and how we think about missions that it starts with theology. And so before we even get into how we're going to carry it out, we need to first nail that down. But since we've already nailed that down, we're going to look about how is Grace Life going to carry out the Great Commission? How are we going to carry out our missions program? And that's what we're going to look at today. So there's just a heading here about leadership, just that one of the elders will oversee this missionary or elders, and that's my job. My job is to oversee missions at Grace Life and to guide it and to show leadership in it, and that's why I'm doing this right now. And then we have really guiding principles for mission support. Like, who are we going to support? Why are we going to support this and not this? Because there's so much out there that we could support. We could go. There's missionaries going to all sorts of countries. There's all sorts of mission organizations. There's so many of them. The amount of them makes it even hard maybe to decide who are we going to support. What are we going to invest in? What are we going to do? And so this part helps us to decide what are we going to say yes to, what are we going to say no to. And we start off with our biblical priorities. And our biblical priorities are really non-negotiable. This is based upon Scripture, based upon the Word of God, based on the understanding of the Great Commission. We can't change this. If we would change this, we would be in error. We'd be in sin. And so this is an important non-negotiable for us. So our biblical priorities are the preaching and teaching of God's word must be a central focus of the ministry. This comes out of our understanding of the Great Commission. If like we talked about, if you're just digging wells in Africa, you know, that's wonderful. But that's not missions, because there's no gospel proclamation. It's not in connection. There's no teaching of the God's word involved in that. It has nothing. It's not even connected to anything with the word of God. So the word of God must be central in its preaching and teaching. If you're going to do like medical missions and there's no, you're helping people, that's wonderful. Again, but unless you're sharing the gospel, unless it's connected to a local church, as we'll see, we're not going to support that, right? The Great Commission is not about, is not social programs. It's not helping the hungry or feeding the poor. It's about the preaching and teaching of God's word. It's making disciples through the proclamation of the gospel. It's teaching those disciples to obey the words of the law of Christ, and as they grow into Christ's likeness. And so that's going to be the central focus of our ministry. And as since we've talked about the centrality of the local church, the ministry must be connected to the local church, whether planting a local church or strengthening the local church. This is often forgotten, as we've said, but we're not going to support anything that's not connected to the local church. If you're doing evangelism and there's not connected to a local church, then we're not going to support you. If you're either out planting a church or you're supporting and strengthening an existing church. And so where there is no local church involved in your missions work, you're not going to get supported by our church. The other thing, as we've seen before, is the missionary must be qualified, he must be gifted, and he must be trained for that particular ministry. Some people get caught up in the fact that, you know, like all these souls are dying around the world and we just need to send people out there. Doesn't matter who you, like just anybody who's a warm body, they're willing to go, you just send them out because the mission is so urgent, it's so necessary. Well, it is, but that doesn't mean we get the right to ignore God's word, right? God's word calls us to send out men who are qualified, who are gifted, and you don't get to ignore that because you feel like your timetable is that we need to do it now. God moves in his own way, and so we're not just going to send out anybody. We're going to send out the people who are gifted, qualified, and trained for that particular ministry. So there's probably maybe a couple other things that might be under here, but those are the main ones. And so when we come to the next section here, well, we call it our strategic priorities. And this section here was something I worked through in my own mind for a long time. And I saw how other churches did it. So let me present my dilemma to you and show you how I resolved my dilemma. Now, what happens when you have, you know, there's a lot of bad ministries out there. The first category, biblical priorities, would really rule out us supporting any of the bad ministries. But what do you do when you have, you know, multiple good ministries or good missionaries that are looking for support from Grace Life? You have, there's a TMAI in Honduras, there's a TMAI in Malawi, there's a TMAI in Ukraine, there's a TMAI, you know, and there's other missionaries who are good, qualified people who are going to other places, worthy of support. Let's suppose I receive 4 emails from good qualified men who are going out for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ, wanting to plant churches in different places. How do I decide which one I'm going to support? Right? Without being just subjective, without throwing darts on the wall and going, okay, you're you, or rolling dice, or just coming up with, or being maybe playing favorites, right? You know, I like this guy better than this guy, or I like this country better than this country. How do I be more objective in making a decision where I choose this person rather than this person? And so the whole, as I wrestle with this, you start to think about, okay, well, there's a lot of things we could support, but what are we going to support? Where's the strategic kind of emphasis that Grace Life is going to have? And where's an objective, we're trying to develop an objective standard by which we can evaluate requests that come towards me and to the elders. And this is what comes out of that. This is something other churches have done. I've taken it, I've modified it, I've seen a lot of how they handle some of these things, and this was what comes out of it. So these things are things that we hold to, and there's not necessarily like that everyone has to do the same thing that we're doing here. It's just what we've decided what we want to focus on. And so the strategic priorities begin with, well, our missionary must be in doctrinal agreement with Grace Life's What We Teach statement. As we send out people, as we support different organizations or missionaries, we want them to be doctrinally unified with us. Now, you can potentially, a church could support men who have, you know, some disagreements about eschatology or other things like that. From our perspective, we want to just support those who are in agreement with our doctrinal statement. And so that's one thing, that's a strategic priority, that we're going to support those who agree with us doctrinally. One of the things, and I'll explain this maybe later, is that priority is going to be given to missionaries who we can provide a high level of financial support. We want to be, and this is different, so like this is something that I've been convinced of in the last couple years, is that we want to be a missionary's major supporter. I've heard of churches where they give like 100 here, 100 there, 100 there, and they kind of spread out their missions giving all over the place. And, you know, you can do that. That's fine, I guess. But that's not what we want to do. We want to be strategic on a handful of people, and we want to support them in a larger way. And I'll explain maybe why that is. More so as we get down here. But in fact, I had heard of a church that wanted to support people in like every country of the world. And like, so like, I don't know, what did they do? Like maybe $5 here, $5 there, I don't know. But that's sort of extreme, but I find like that's not very helpful for people. Especially when you think about all that we've talked about. The church has this responsibility, send out a people in a manner worthy of the gospel. There's a responsibility to send them on their way well. Well, if you're supporting like 20 different missionaries, how are you going to do that well? I mean, if you're a big church, maybe you can, but a smaller church, mid-sized church, you would find it very difficult to support your missionaries well if you have a lot of them and just a little bit of support. And the missionary themselves, well, you know, I get $100 from you and I get $100 or $2,000 from this other church. Which church are you going to go to on your furlough? Well, it's not the $100 church necessarily. It's going to be the $2,000 church. So we want to be invested in our missionaries. We want to own them. We want them to feel like we own them. And so that's going to drive who we're going to support and how we're going to support. So here comes my beautiful little chart that's coming. I like this. I came across this from another church, and then I just kind of reworked it for us. Here's our three priorities here that we have in different categories, three different categories here. A priority is going to be placed on sending out those who are first actively already actively serving members, so members of Grace Life, that's our first priority. Second priority is members of another like-minded church in Canada, and preferably in Alberta, Western Canada. Third priority would be like-minded missionaries from other countries, particularly the United States. So this is priority in who we're going to send. What's our highest priority? People from Grace Life. Second highest priority is people from Canada, like-minded doctrinally. Last priority would be people from another country, probably from the United States as well. So that's on who we're going to send out. The priority on the kind of ministry that we're going to do. The priority, number one, is going to be sending out men to evangelize and plant churches in places where there's no gospel witness. So we're going to focus on places that where there isn't other churches, where there isn't another missionary working, where there's a large space where there's no local church. We want to focus on that place where there's no gospel witness. So that's priority number one. Second priority would be to training men for church planting or the work of ministry in a local church. So this could be seminaries, this could be anything that comes alongside a local church to help them to do what they're called to do. In some countries, the local church just doesn't have the resources or the training, and they need the help of another church to come alongside them and help them get on their feet as well, grow into maturity. So that would be our second highest priority. And then the third one here would be supporting the general work of church planting, church strengthening, or training men for ministry. So I'm trying to think where I have my little chart here. This has the idea more of a support missions. It could be referring more. It could also be like medical missions or mercy ministry, things like that. That would be kind of the lower priority. So that's the kind of types of ministries that we're going to give priority to. A third category for priority is going to be a location of ministry. So priority number one is going to be missionaries or ministries that are going where Grace Life already is. So right now we are in Latin America, where we're in Colombia, Cuba, Madagascar, the Philippines, Armenia. Those become our rallying points, as it were. Those are our central points. And we're going to give a priority to people who want to go there and serve alongside the missionaries we already support in those areas. And so what you're doing is kind of building upon what you're already doing by sending more people there. Okay, so that's our highest priority. Second highest priority is planting churches in Canada where there's no churches. And you'll notice here I have especially in Western Canada because it's close to us. We're obviously connected. And I also have another thing there is that native reserves. And this is something that I've felt strongly about for years, is that when I look at the native reserves around Canada, there's so few good churches there. There are people that are so in darkness that I put them in here as a priority. So if a person wants to go to a native reserve, you're going to have a higher priority from us. And then the last priority there is places in the world where there's little to no Christian witness. And so what we have here, I'll give you my little chart, which I already showed you. But this is how it works. I have a little bit of a point system. Remember, this is just to help us make decisions. But you can see the top level there with 3 points. You have the categories there, relation to Grace Life Church, type of ministry, and location. And so you can see that what I've just talked about is put into this chart. Now, let's suppose you have a Grace Life member who wants to go to Pakistan, and he wants to plant a church somewhere in Pakistan. Well, you can see he gets 3 points because he's a Grace Life member. He gets 3 points because he's planting a church. And there's 1 point for being for location, right? So he's got 7 points. That's significant. But if you had somebody from another country, let's say United States, 1 point. He wants to be church planting, leadership training, maybe something like that. But he's going to where we have missionaries already. Well, he also has a pretty high priority because that could be, 6 or 5 or 6 points. Well, that's also then a high priority because of where he's going and what he's doing. And all of this really just helps us make a decision. This isn't like, as I say here, it's not like the laws of the Medes and the Persians, right? You remember the laws of the Medes and the Persians. They were rigid. You couldn't change them. This isn't that, right? We can change this. I mean, it could happen. We could send somebody to Pakistan from Grace Life. And man, that is going to be priority number one. And if anybody wants to go to Pakistan who's gifted and qualified from our church, if we have the money and the resources, we want to send you to help the guy that's already there. I can tell you that we're considering a gentleman who wants to go to Colombia. Well, that's going to help out what the Moraleses are doing right away, right now. Well, that's a big priority for us because it's location. So that's why we're thinking about that. So what this does is it gives us, it helps us with making decisions without, necessarily saying we have to do this. And we can change this too. This can change as we go along in our church. But at this point, this is gives us a more objective way to make a decision. And I think I've kind of explained why we do this, but let me go through it briefly. The reason why we have this strategy for processing through the who and what and where when we send out a missionary is we want to have that close-knit personal connection with this missionary. We want a sense of ownership with those we send out. And so this whole thing is meant to foster that. And a lot of what we do is going to be trying to foster a close connection with the missionaries and that we support. Because that benefits everybody in the church. It benefits the missionary. It allows us to be able to support them well. By focusing on certain countries, it helps Grace Life become more familiar with that culture, with that country, the language, the history of that place. It gets us more excited about what's going on in that place because we're so heavily invested in there. We got our fingerprints all over the place. And we get a sense of ownership to where we're sending. It also helps when we're focusing on one country or one place. When we do STMs, now we're sending missionaries or our STMs to maybe help out two of our missionaries and to be more, we kind of are doing double duty there where we're helping out a number of different missionaries we're supporting in that area or in that country. Because this whole thing is meant to, as I talked about, bridge the connection between what's going on over there in the mission field and Grace Life here. And it kind of is meant to draw us together and connect us. Because when we do that, we have just a great, we'll be more willing to give, more willing to serve, more willing to be able to support them in any way. And see, like I've noticed this, right? Like if you go on a mission trip and you know that you've been to that place, you've seen those people, you have this connection to that place and you're willing to sacrifice because they're not just people on a card. They're not just people that, they're not just a name. You know them. You've seen them. You've sweated with them. You've You've lived with them, and now they're special to you, right? I've been to Cuba 14 times. I mean, those people are precious to me. I don't need someone to tell me, well, would you give for them? Well, I just do it, right? And there's lots of, and so like, I have that connection because I've been there so often. But you, many of us will not go, be able to go to these places and visit these missionaries. But what my job, one of the reasons for doing things like this is to try to bridge that gap so you feel that greater connection, that you have that sense of ownership, that these are our missionaries and that we have, we're supporting them. And then that will produce a greater willingness to give, willingness to pray, willingness to be involved. If you just spread out your missionaries in, and you have lots of them, well, you don't have that connection with them anymore as much. Having more support for particular missionaries in particular places doing particular work narrows that focus and you have that greater sense of connection. And just having fewer missionaries with more support allows us to just be more sensitive to their needs, to what's going on there, and we're better able to be what the local church is called to do, to send them out in a manner worthy of the gospel. And this just allows for us to have more of an objective approach. In my one of the situations I can imagine is if, you know, Johnny Grace Lifer and Bobby Grace Lifer both come to me and say, hey, I want to go to some place and plant churches. Well, now how do I decide between Bobby and Johnny Grace Lifer, right? And maybe I only have so much money, I can't support both of them. How do I decide without being, you know, maybe Johnny's my buddy and Bobby just, I don't know Johnny very well. How do I decide between Johnny and Bobby without looking like I'm showing partiality, showing favoritism? Well, this document allows me to go to Bobby and say, Bobby, you know, like, you got a lower score than Johnny, and we just, as we look at how much we have, we just can't support you as well. And so we're going, based upon our document here, we're going to have to support Johnny. And then Bobby, hopefully, he may still feel hurt, but he'll at least have the sense of that it's not just that I'm trying to play favorites here, and that Johnny is not just a favorite of mine. And so this is why we have this. And so before I begin or go on, is there any questions about how we wanna, about the strategic focus, about the priorities we have? Any questions about how we're going to do things? Just one other thing, too. This document helps you understand this is how we're going to use our money as for Grace Life. This gives you a sense of, you know, this document is, as it were, just saying to you guys, look, everybody, you guys give for missions, you support our missionaries. This is what we're going to do. This is how we operate. This is how we want to be above reproach. This is how we want to be wise with what you give. And so this is for you too, to have confidence in us. Yeah, I saw a hand, Peter. I saw you. So Peter's asking, what ways are we going to try to bridge that gap between the missionary and the church? Well, thank you, Peter, because I'm going to address that in further on, because we address it in another section here. So I'll get to that. Yeah. Do we financially support any churches in Western Canada? Yes, we do. So we have last year and then this year, we've given some of our designated giving, missions giving to a church plant in Victoria, Nathan Giesbrook. And I'm actually hoping to go there to see what's going on there in sometime at the end of summer. And yes, so there's one church plant there that we do support financially. I think that's about it at the moment. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Nathan Giesbrook's church plant, that it's supported by, it's not Prairie Chapel anymore, it's Redeemer. Thank you. You know what? Ma, you came all the way from Victoria, Vancouver Island. Sorry, she's not Ma. That's her nickname. Sorry, that's awkward. she came all the way from Vancouver Island just so she could clarify that point. Now, where was I going with that? So Nathan Giesbrook is sent out by Redeemer, was it Bible Church in Abbotsford? And we just have come alongside and give them a bit of support. And, Victoria is one of those places. It's a very dark place. It's spiritually dark, and there aren't many good churches. So we're thankful for what Nathan's doing, and it is growing. And it is, as you were saying, it's there's a lot of good things going on there. So any other questions about sort of the strategic focus of what we're going to do at Grace Life? Yes.
If I have a desire to go on missions and don't have the training yet,
yeah.
What role would Grace Life play in
that? So you're asking, so when it comes to training a missionary to go, well, I think that we would want to make sure that you're trained to do your job before you go. And we would try to come up with a plan to make sure that's covered and paid for. Whether you're covering some of it or we're covering some of it, I can't speak to that right now, right? But it may mean actually going to, there are seminaries or missionary schools where they specifically deal with certain things related to missions. There could be something even related to learning a language where you'll have to get special training because you're going to go somewhere. Yeah, James? Oh. Well, there's the mentor model from TMS, which we are a church that does that, and you can do your whole program, your MDiv here at home, online with James's help. Yeah. So that's, yeah, I mean, you're going to, like, depending on what you do, but we want you to have an MDiv or something equivalent. And they're going to, depending on what you, there could be other training that's necessary as well. So we would certainly want to help you do that. Yes? Well, I think, so he's at, I think depending on what you're going to do, you would need that, you'd have to look at each case, but you definitely need to be elder qualified for sure, and it'd be likely needed to have an MDiv or something equivalent, especially if you're going to go plant a church, and depending on your level of knowledge and understanding already at the point this time. Is that kind of what you were hoping? Okay. Hope. Yeah, go ahead.
So if you have the desire, come talk to me.
Yeah. If you have the desire, come talk to me. For sure. Thank you. See, there's so many situations you could find yourself in that it's like when you ask a this kind of question. Well, it could be this, could be that, right? It depends. Well, hopefully that's helpful for you. The last part of our philosophy of missions, we talk about when we would end support, and I'm not going to go through all of that, but we have a list of reasons why we would not support somebody or take away our support. We talk about how we're going to support our missionaries, right? We talk about, because we have talked about how the church has the role of sending out missionaries in a manner worthy of the Lord. And so we want to make sure we are communicating with our missionaries. And we have people in the church that help me with this. I do this. We're communicating with our missionaries, making sure that we know what's going on. Making sure, seeing how they're doing spiritually, physically, financially, any prayer needs. And then we take that, what's going on there, and we send it to the congregation. That's why you get all those little updates in the bulletin. That's what we're trying to do there. We're trying to build a connection between you and your missionary so you know what's going on, updates, and how you can pray for them. What we have here, we have sort of our different, we have our Christmas, our, what is it? Christmas November. We have our STMs that we send out. And then when our missionaries would come, we would make sure that everything's taken care of, that they don't have, that when they come here, it's not a burden to them. So we have expectations for Grace Life missionaries as well. And again, it's all connected to communication and even visits. We expect them to visit here every couple years. We have 3 to 5 years at a minimum. We want that. That's why next Sunday, is it next Sunday? It's next Sunday. The Ellingsons will be here. He'll be preaching. They'll be doing the Sunday school. He will be doing the Sunday school. And then on the Tuesday, they're coming to do a question answer period and to just talk about their mission work. That way you have a chance to get exposed to all that's going on there, to see what all the money that we've been sending over the years is going for, to share their joy as to all the all that God has done through their ministry. So this kind of is Peter's answer to his question. And I have a section here about how we're going to mobilize the church for missions. And mobilizing the church is, here's a definition here. Mobilizing is the process of discipling, equipping, and finding resources to help others get involved in missions as God has gifted them and give them opportunities to serve. And so we want to bring the task of the Great Commission before you. And we want you to not forget that and to realize that there's a personal role that you have to play in the work of the Great Commission, whether that's holding the rope, sending and supporting people or whether that's evangelism, personal evangelism, or whether that's even if God's called you to go. And so we've already kind of talked about this, about information informing the congregation of all that's going on in the missions work. We also have, just by the way, the Cuba Partners Group, where there's all sorts of information on that Signal group every week about what's going on in Cuba, about the churches that we come alongside, and about needs and prayer requests. this whole, what we're doing here is instructing us in our theology of missions. Maybe in the future, there'll be a missions class or missions training class, or, you know, there could be all sorts of ways that we try to prepare and help people be involved in missions. We have our mission Sunday. We have our Christmas in November. We have, maybe in the future, we would do a whole missions conference where we have the facility and we can just have missionaries come here. We can have the whole a weekend where we just discuss or preach on different aspects and teach on different aspects of missions. So there's different ways. Let's see. We're going to have a little individual plaques, as it were. I don't know what we call them. For each missionary on the board over there. We're going to take down the map soon, and we're going to put up little boards for each of the missionaries, each of the ministries that we have here, missions ministries, so that you can see updates, you can see their cards, you can see information right there, and we're going to individualize it, make it bigger so everyone can see it. And just one other thing that I'm chewing on and working on that I've let a couple people know. So what I'm thinking of doing, actually, let me back up. I want to also let you know that Peter Gerber is one of our deacons, and Peter is our, I guess he has the official title of Deacon for Missions. Anyways, Peter helps me a lot with missions work, and what I want to do, this is an idea I have in my mind that I'm working through. Other churches have done it. And what I want to do is I want to establish missionary care teams and or holding the rope teams, whatever you want to call them. And these, you'd they'd be led by a qualified man of good character in the church. And there'd be about 5 or 6 people in these groups. And the purpose of each group would be assigned to a particular missionary. And so there'd be a group for the Philippines, a group for the Moraleses, and so on. And what these groups would do is they would serve under my oversight, and they would have the role of, they would meet every so often to pray for our mission, the missionary, share information about what's going on with that missionary to the congregation. They would remember their birthdays and anniversaries. They'd send encouragement, maybe care packages. If that missionary would come here, that team would be mobilized to go out and make sure that all the logistics for that visit would be taken care of. That care team would be involved if we did like a mission Sunday, and they'd be sharing information or doing something related to their particular missionary. There's probably more to what they could do, but they would be dedicated to a particular missionary and to support them well, make sure that they're doing well and taken care of. And that way, so I can't do that on my own, but if I get a whole bunch of groups to do that and I oversee that, then all those groups then can go out and do that in a way that I couldn't do on my own. So that's something I'm thinking of and working on, and I don't know when that will come out, but you can look for it eventually in the bulletin. It'll be there. And if you would like to serve in one of those groups, there will be requirements. We're not just going to like open it up to everybody who wants to serve. We're looking for Grace Life members, good standing. There's going to be other things. Probably be like some kind of form to fill out, just a couple questions. And that's something that we want to do, I want to do, so that we can mobilize the church, to the whole church, to be serving our missionaries and whatever and what we support. So there could be more ideas. If you have more ideas, that's you can always talk to me. But we don't want to be a church that's just like in the holy huddle where we're all just really thankful we're saved. We want to realize, we want to go out. We want to be attacking. We want to be sending. We want to be sacrificing. We want to be fighting. We want to be busy doing something here in our country, but in the world as well. And so we don't want to become stagnant. And if you're not going out and being busy, active, you will become stagnant as a church. So I have an Appendix A where we have a whole thing about short-term missions ministry. And I'm not going to go through that. We have actually, I have from Grace Community Church, they gave me their STM handbook, and that has all sorts of information, and that's a valuable resource we have. But any questions before we wrap up here? Go ahead. Well, I think if a missionary needed a sabbatical, we would certainly want to support them as much as we can. Would we send someone in to take their place for a time? You'd have to see the situation possibly if that was available and somebody was able to do that. Possibly, yeah. Yeah. Any other questions? Good, Kate. Everyone's on board. Well, if you have any other, yeah, okay, you. Sorry.
Do we have any plans to support outside of somebody from Grace Life? Is there somebody else already out on the field that Grace Life is interested in supporting?
Not somebody who's out on the field right now. Right, like I said, there's one person we're considering right now. No, he's actually outside of the church. He's a Christian, yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah. That would go without saying, but thanks. At this point, there's just one person that we're considering, and the reason we're considering him is because he wants to go to serve alongside Ricardo. So... No, he's not. That's Kike, or actually his name is not Kike, it's Enrique, but you know how the sound is, Kike. Anyways, Kike is from Honduras, and he's not sent out by GMI. So GMI is Grace Ministry International. It's basically a sending agency of Grace Community Church, and we can't support Kike because of the tax rules and charitable tax status rules that we have, because we can't support him individually because he's not sent out from like a sending agency that we have an agreement with. One of the things too, where this is a good question. It wasn't your question actually, but it was came out of it. One of the things we may need to do as a church, and this is a way you can serve, is we may need to create our own mission agency, because of all the rules that come with being a church, charitable status. We may need to create our own mission agency. And so we'll need help with that, because it's not an easy thing. And so that's something you can look forward to in God's providence. We will have people here from our church who want to be sent out, and so then we can send them out ourselves. If there's no other pressing questions, I'm going to pivot briefly. I have like 4 minutes. So this is probably my last Sunday school for this year, this ministry year. Jake's going to take this to the end, the very bitter end too. In the new year though, me and Jake have been talking about doing Sunday school, and I want to give you a heads up of what I'm going to do that way, and I'll have a reason for that. I've been working on I'm putting together some lessons, and it's just in the idea stage right now, on doing a series on aging, on the senior citizen, on those who will get the latter years of one's life. And I want to discuss how do we look at that stage of life biblically? What are some challenges at that stage? And so I don't know how many lessons that's going to be. There's a bunch there. And just so you know, after we're done that, Jake is going to continue on, and he's going to talk about death. So we went from aging to death. And so we're excited for all of that. We didn't plan that, actually. That was just providential. But you know what? As you noticed, I'm probably not in that latter stage of life. I'm more in the middle stage. And I know there's a lot of you that I can see out there that are in that stage. And so being in the middle, there's a lack of experience that I have. So what you can do for me, you can pray, but you could also, if you're in that latter stage of life, you can send me some things, like things you want me to address, or maybe some things that, your experience, what are some challenges and things that you didn't expect maybe about getting older? Anything that you feel that could be helpful, just send me an email. I would be happy to take that and use it to create a robust and biblical lesson. And by the way, it's not just if you're going and you're younger and you're going, well, why do I want to learn about aging? I've got a lot of time. Well, we're also going to address about how you should think about those who are older than you. And so it's also, this is not just for the older people among us, it's for all of us and how to think about that, because the church should be different. And I want our church to think biblically about these things and to live that out as we interact with the different ages among us. Anyways, that's what you can look forward to, Lord willing, next year. I'm going to be working on that over the summer. Well, if you have more questions, you know where I am. And you know what my information is. With that, I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we have plans, we have ideas, we want to accomplish things, we want to obey your word. And so we commit all these things into your hands, and we ask for your blessing on it. You know what's best, and we submit our plans and our ideas to you. We pray that you would, in your grace, take what we would like to do and bless it. We pray that you would make Grace Life a church that is is busy going, serving in the Great Commission. We want to see, Lord, sacrificial giving, serving. Lord, we pray that you would give us a passion, a joy in doing this. Help guide us. Help us to do it well. Help us, Lord, to have just a general love of the gospel that produces a love for the Great Commission. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.